I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live on the road as it is a thirsty Thursday. And I see you over here, Debbie, a little thirsty Thursday in the building here at the Willowbrook location here, Buffalo Wild Wings. Great food, great drinks, and it is playoff week. Now, it's not Saturday at 3:30 like we're used to here with the Texans, but Monday night, but still we're getting you ready and getting you amped up here. And and we'll be out here today all day until 6 o'clock. Prizes for you to win: autographed football, Jaden Higgins, who's really come on. You can win a football there, and also an autographed helmet, Jalen Petrie, coming up in the 4 and 5 o'clock hour. All you got to do is put your name in our raffle box. Our guy Shay is here to help, and you'll have a chance to be a winner today. The whole gang is in, and, of course, playoff week, we're there. And let's kick it off here, Clint, with the kind of the injury report that we're seeing right now. The Texans had an extra day off. They didn't practice yesterday or the day before. Usually they start up on Wednesday. They're starting up on Thursday this week with the Monday night game. And from an injury perspective, guys that were on the practice field, we just heard the fellas talking about safety Jalen Reed, who is now back on the team from that forearm injury he had. Jamal Hill practiced today. Trent Brown with the knee, he was at practice today. We'll see. I'm certain it'll probably be at a limited capacity when we get the injury report out. But Trent Brown, who has missed the last couple of games with that knee, he was back on the practice field. Now, guys that didn't, Kamari Laster, who is expected, according to Aaron Wilson, to be back for the Steelers game. He missed the final regular season game, but he did not practice today. At least he wasn't out there during the portion where the media was able to see. Also, right tackle, left guard, right guard, whatever he is, Titus Howard, he did not practice today either. And then one that seems to be most pressing, Clint, backup running back and a guy who started to get some more run, Gerard Jordan, he has a high ankle sprain, and the timeline for his return isn't there. There's no timetable for that right now, but he is not practicing with that high ankle sprain, and a running back, Clint, that generally doesn't bold well. He had with that hip drop tackle in that game, and that's giving him problems. So those guys didn't practice, so a little mixed bag there with some important guys not out there in the practice field. Gerard Jordan seemed to be the most pressing.
Yeah, I think Gerard Jordan's a piece that you got to keep an eye on here. I mean, because there's a fall off. There's definitely a difference in play style when you get beyond Gerard Jordan. Obviously, Woody Marks is the guy. We've talked about it before. Woody Marks is not a bell cow type guy. You'd like to have him splitting the load with somebody. So, Gerard would be that guy. High ankle sprain is, you know, there's some positions that can play with it. That would not, with his play style, that would not be ideal if it is a severe high ankle sprain. We'll see what that ends up looking like. But, we talked about it last week almost in tongue-in-cheek, right? Obviously, Nick Chubb is an option that would be a little bit more of a complimentary back to Woody Marks. But then you also look at what you saw from British Brooks last week.
Yeah.
Is British Brooks was last week in that mop-up duty and kind of, you know, just briefly talking about if you ever needed it. I mean, hell, is this a time when you go, hey, he looked pretty damn good.
Well, Clint,
had a little bit of wiggle.
What'd they give? They gave Nick one carry against the Chargers, and he never made it back in?
Yeah. So you wonder, the carries that he was getting was going to Gerard Jordan. So now what do you do? Is it Nick Chubb? Is it British Brooks? Because, I mean, I think British Brooks did enough last week for you to have confidence that you can hand him the rock, and he did show the ability to run this offense at least in a different fashion than Nick Chubb. There was a little bit more wiggle. There's a little bit more burst. There's obviously some size there, some physicality. And so what direction do the Texans go if Gerard Jordan indeed, you know, can't, you know, this high ankle sprain remains an issue closer to game time?
No, this is something, because they're probably going to try to run the football a lot. You know, you got a little weather, Pittsburgh, a game that's probably going to be low scoring. They're probably going to try to run the football a lot. And You know, what are you going to do there? I feel like British Brooks is maybe the line, right, for Nick Chubb. Like, maybe we saw extended time from Jordan, and maybe that jumped him over Nick.
Yeah.
Obviously, Woody Marks, jumped over him. I'd be surprised if they come in the game and they're like, all right, the guy who's going to get the second most carries, we're going to jump British Brooks. Although, I think our eyes, if we watch British Brooks in that time that he had last week, there was a different level of explosiveness and make you miss ability that we hadn't seen from Nick Chubb. But I feel like in a playoff game I think they would probably trust Nick Chubb to get four or five carries, six carries that they wouldn't give to Woody Marks.
Yeah, I wish I knew more about British Brooks from like what goes on at practice. How much run is he actually getting? Is ball security an issue or a non-factor? Is pass protection, is he as good as the other guys in that pass pro department? I wish I knew more, because if that were the case, then it wouldn't shock me one bit for him to jump, Chubb in the line. There's too many pieces to play in the position that we just haven't seen in critical moments for us to really know whether they're comfortable with it or not. I guarantee you, if he mentally, is as good as these other guys in pass protection, and they feel like they can trust him with ball security, I guarantee this group does not hesitate when it's time to bump somebody up and give him some run, as you saw with Juwan Jordan ahead of him.
And someone texted in, you're right, let's not just jump these guys over Dari Ogunbowale. You're right. There is a
– Oh, there's that guy. I forgot about Dari. Yeah, no. Hey, look here, I tell you what I would do is, assuming the ball security is not an issue, consuming pass protection is not an issue – early in the game, I damn sure work him in a rotation, and a lot like Juwan Jordan.
Work who in the rotation? British?
British Brooks, okay. Yeah. I mean, I would not be afraid to work him in.
About Dari.
I wouldn't be afraid to get him a carry or two in the first quarter. And if he pops one and he shows something a little different gear than Chubb's got, then you do exactly what you did with Juwan Jordan. And Juwan takes the two reps the rest of the way. So it wouldn't shock me. We've seen it before with this group. Hell, we've seen it before with this group. Juwan Jordan hadn't played in the NFL, hadn't played many games at all. At least British Brooks is involved. I mean, at least he's been involved in special teams and active every week. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. That's one thing to watch for sure.
Yeah, so that is the latest there. Once the official injury report comes out, we'll let you know the latest and what's going on with the Steelers as well. All right, some news out of the NFL. All right, and Tyler – Tyler gets to take a little victory walk here, as he was on the Mike McDaniel train. I just thought we had reached a point where it was long past the thought that he would lose his job, especially when on Monday he spoke to the media and said that he is absolutely involved on who the next general manager is going to be, and that's what him and the owner expressed.
That escalated quickly.
It did, and they had a meeting today, and Stephen Ross walked out the meet and said, "Nah, man, I'm done, Mike. You're out of there." So shout out to Tyler. Tyler was on the Mike McDaniel train. I didn't see that one coming. When my man was involved, said he was involved in the general manager search, I thought, well, you usually don't come out there with confidence and say that if you ain't involved in it. So I see you. I see you, Tyler. If you're on YouTube, you can see Tyler taking a victory lap and letting everybody know what
gotta own it, man. It doesn't happen super often.
No, hell yeah, you know I would take that thing, but Clint, I know you had some thoughts there when you see that he's kind of surprisingly out at Miami, and obviously you would assume things don't change that quickly unless something obviously happened.
Well, I think something obviously happened, and that's John Harbaugh hit the streets. I mean, you can argue Miami handled this the way that you would like to. I know everybody doesn't have this timeline, but you could argue that Miami handled this the way that you should. Is, hey, I'm not convinced I need to fire my coach, but if I've got a what I believe is a significantly better coach with an upgrade that can build an organization that's been one of the better coaches in the NFL for 18 or 19 years, if that guy comes available, then yeah, I'm gonna move on. Well, wow, that guy became available. when Harbaugh hit the streets. So this has got that's the only thing that moves the needle enough for them to have a conversation. Like, nothing had changed since your season was over other than Harbaugh hitting the streets.
It was Monday.
I mean, it's like there's that has to be part of this equation. Then Miami was rumored to have looked into John Harbaugh while they still had Mike McDaniel. So I think there's a John Harbaugh factor here, and I don't blame Miami for doing it. If you really want to pull your organization, again, this isn't about – I think John Harbaugh is a good hire, but this isn't about the ceiling to me. This isn't about Super Bowls. It's not about living in the play. Right now, it's about, hey, the floor for the Miami Dolphins has been unacceptably low for a long time. And I know they made some runs offensively, and Tua did some things, and Mike was good early. But just
I don't think they've won a playoff game since 2000.
Well, there you go. Goes all the way back. So I mean, like, this is about getting that floor up to where you're in the hunt, you're in the playoffs, you're at least a competitive football team and an organization that seems to be trending in the right direction. Instead of just like up, like I think with Mike, there's been some pretty significant ups and downs kind of deal. A lot of good players have come and gone. There's been Tyreek Hill issues. I mean, the stuff. If I'm an owner, I listen to my quarterback that I'm paying $50+ million, and the way he talks to the media and kind of the way he steps back in his own mess, in the media. There's no way a team's following that. I know he wanted Alabama. Nick Saban.
Well, he's
there.
Definitely out right now. Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah, but you just got to look like that. That's and then I mean, look, I hate to just call a spade a spade. I mean, I don't know that Mike could run a locker room and move the needle consistently if that offense is scoring 50 points. But the minute that it hits a little adversity and the offense isn't very good, I think he's going to have a hard time rallying the troops. And so I think this is the Harbaugh thing, man. This is a Harbaugh factor, and I don't know if Harbaugh wants to be there, but I got to believe.
You would assume maybe they – if it is, I would assume whether it's Harbaugh, you would assume that that's what it is. But you would think they've got some understanding of something if they're going to make this move, right? Like, you would think they are tipped off to believe in whoever it is that they want to go get. They have the ability to go get, because this just shifted so much, right? Like,
right.
This guy does not go to the media on Monday with the comfort to say, yeah, man, I'm going to be involved in picking the general manager. The general manager's going to be working with me, right? That's something somebody with great comfort in their job security goes up and says. And then, hell, you don't even make it to Thursday lunch. Your ass is gone. So I would assume they have an answer, and they believe they can go get that answer, because it'd be interesting, Clint, if they're sitting around just for a long time looking for their next head coach. I would assume that would come quick. And if it is John Harbaugh, that is just, I mean, with the exception of, hey, man, we're going to put this in place for you to do whatever you want to do. Outside of that, boy, they don't have – like a ton that you love in place, right?
Right, yeah.
Right? Like, I think he's going to have to find
it's a new start over, right?
Yeah, but it's a start over, and, like, where are they in the draft? I don't think they have, like, do they have a top 10 pick? Maybe they have a top 10 pick. I don't think they have, like, a great draft pick. They don't have the quarterback. Hell, they've got so much money invested in the quarterback that they got to figure out what they got to do there. Tyreek Hill's in a weird situation. They got a lot of money invested in him, and he's coming off of a big injury. So
Tyreek Hill is a top 10 in cap hit next week, next year.
Next year.
And
yeah.
The Dolphins have the number 11 pick.
See, I mean, hell, that's not – I mean, it's an all right pick, but not when you're starting over. Like, the Raiders are tearing it down with the number one pick, right? Like, the Jets are in the midst of starting over, and they're, in the top three pick. So they got the 11th pick still with stuck with some big contracts and some guys that you would think a new coach would want to move past. That's a tough one to roll through. All right, as we continue here on a Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook location. Make your way on it just on the other side of the highway from Willowbrook Mall. Come on out and hang out with us. Prizes for you to win, great food, great drink. Shout out to Bud Light and Buffalo Wild Wings. There is something. You guys may have gotten to Clint. Clint had been really against this situation involving
100% against. 100%. Silly. You're silly.
Yes, he's talked really bad about it involving C.J. Stroud, but now maybe he's turned the corner. We'll discuss that.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Coming up next. CJ with the legs.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. As the party is starting here on a Thirsty Thursday, as the big voice man said live, Willowbrook, come on over, come on out. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. My man walked over and said, just give me the Jalen Petrie helmet now. Nope. Your ass got to be in here. You got to wait. You gotta wait. Hang out. Sit down here. Get you a drink.
No.
That's right. Thank you, Mark. Sit down here. Grab a drink. Hell, get you some good food here. You know, it's a Thursday, so they got that special on those boneless wings. So you can attack that. Yeah, buy one, get one. Go ahead and attack that. Scarlett will take care of you. Get on out here and hang out with us and be able to chance to win a prize if you're in the building or on your way. Put get a raffle ticket, put it in our raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win prizes coming up as we'll start those in the 4 o'clock hour. Big, busy day on the show coming up. At the bottom of this hour, we will hear from D'Amico Ryans. We'll go out to NRG, hear his press conference coming up at the bottom of this hour. We'll also hear from C.J. Stroud in the 3 o'clock hour as they get set for the wild card weekend, playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll hear from those guys coming up here a little bit later on. All right, Clint, one thing that I know that, you know, you just would not hear none of. And this has been over a couple of years. Like, one thing that comes from our listeners at times, from the text line, YouTube, and Twitch is, man, they want to see CJ use his legs more. They want to see CJ take advantage of that, you know, make that a part of his game and make the defense pay with his legs at times. And that is something you have really not been a fan of. I know it's like, hey, move in the pocket a little bit, but let's not make that a thing for you. You're turning a new leaf on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think I am. I'll be honest with you, man. The crowd of C.J. Stroud needing to use his legs has really irritated me. It's irritated me more than I probably led folks to believe on the radio. I think it's plum-ass silly. I think that the questions constantly early in the season about his top-end speed and his off-season training and all that kind of crap was silly as hell. I thought it was a mistake when D'Amico Ryans kept laughing and talking about, oh, yeah, man, quarterback man, equals it's an equalizer, man. CJ, I love when CJ runs. No, you see that thought has toned down significantly in the back half of the season. I've just overall, every time I hear it, I roll my eyes. But I got a confession. I got to confess, or maybe it's not a confession. Maybe it's just I've come to a spot where we are in the season, and one of the real struggles with this team. I think it's time to pull the C.J. Stroud needs to run more. And here's his: when you get inside the 10-yard line, when you get inside the 5-yard line, we've seen Nick Cayley get creative with a Dare Ogunbowale Wildcat. We saw it a couple times in one game.
Wow.
We saw the Otogia dive last game. We've seen several different players. I think Jalen Knoll. I think we've seen X. I think we even saw Nico once or twice in the red zone jet sweep. So they're pulling out all the stops. And while I don't want CJ's ass leaving the pocket in between the 20s, one place where I'll entertain, and if I were Nick Cayley, I would put it in and I'd use it. The quarterback plus one run stuff inside the 5-yard line, put him in gun, remain a threat, spread him out a little bit, keep your receivers on the field, run QB power.
You'd run QB power?
Absolutely, QB plus one run.
With
lead,
CJ?
Duo, lead,
oh
whatever
God.
The hell you want to call it. Yes, I would. Big-bodied quarterback, long, heavy, strong. I would use playoffs.
Like, are you thinking like as a kind of surprise, or is this something that could be a part of your goal line, your red zone package?
Well, no, I believe you'd have success with it, and I believe that they would then therefore keep it around. But the thing is you keep him in gun, you remain a threat. They're thinking, hey, I got to defend the pass, I got to spread out, I got Dalton Schultz, I got Nico Collins, I got Higgins, who's been really good. You know, what do I do here in this inside the 10-yard line? And you bang him with a QB plus one, or hey, stick the ball in the belly of old Woody Marks and run the quarterback read off the end. You know, if you're a little bit further out in that 10-yard line range, 9-yard line range. But this is where I believe not only would I accept it, but I would encourage it.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. That Showed is a real that is a real it. Like I thought you were going to talk about maybe in a scrambling a little bit. You want him
no,
to maybe
I'm
do
never going to encourage
that?
I'm never going to encourage anybody
QB
to
QB power, baby.
I mean, I'm not encouraging off script, off schedule. I mean, it's that outside of the scope of the offense. I'm not encouraging that. And I'm not even concerned about the concussion that CJ seems to be concerned about. Like I think with his skill set and in this offense, I think it's silly to encourage your quarterback to run the football at any point in time. His money's gonna be made throwing the football and remaining a passer at all times. I'm not saying you don't scramble when you need to. It's part of the game. But I'm not going to encourage that kind of stuff with C.J. Stroud. Now, we get some plus one runs where we can at least by design protect anybody from getting just free one-on-one hits on him. At least schematically we're blocking this thing up and getting a hat on a hat. And you can use his size and his length and his strength inside the goal line, I could ride with it.
Did the misplay last week get you to that fault, or you've been kind of thinking about that? Because I don't want him to take them hits like quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it one bit.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it one bit. The running game, like when you're running, when you make the decision to run, and you're not avoiding pressure, sliding like he did the first time. I don't think he gets hurt. Where he gets hurt is all of a sudden everything's off script, off platform. We're running out there with no protection, no blocking, no nothing, no plan. And next thing you know, something happens. He's a big enough, strong enough, thick enough lower base to actually be a threat there. And if you're going to use his legs, that's where I believe not only do I support it, hell, I'd encourage it.
If we see them do that, I will be convinced that Nick Caley is listening to this show and then putting stuff into the offense.
Well,
I'll be convinced.
It wouldn't be the worst thing he's done. I mean, we saw the Dari Gumbawale, Dari Wildcat. We saw the Dari Wildcat twice in a game, Chief. I mean, we literally saw them try to hand the ball to a defensive lineman because he's a nice guy last week.
Whew.
That they hadn't practiced, according to C.J. Stroud. Yeah, so I don't think it's a stretch to – playoff time. I don't want to see him do it midseason with him. I don't care to. See, yeah, right now, absolutely.
I could see it as a wrinkle right now, boy. I hope it. I don't know. I don't know about that being I don't want to say a normal, but something that's a part of what they do inside the 10.
Well, you have got to find a way to score points. Yeah. You have got to find a way to create a little bit of pressure. To put a little bit of pressure on Pittsburgh versus this defense. You can't let Pittsburgh stay in that comfort zone because your offense is slow motion. You got to find a way, and you got to pull out all the stops. And we've seen him pull out crazy stops. And so I just think that would make a whole hell of a lot of sense, all things considered. Again, I don't want to see it week 8 of the regular season, but you get in the playoffs, we got to pull out all the stops, man. You're on the road in a cold environment. You've shown multiple times throughout the year you can't line up in goal line personnel and run it downhill. Right? I mean, so what do you got to do? You got to get creative. We've seen all these different creative attempts. Stay a passing threat. Show something you hadn't seen all year. And I think there's – with CJ's build, I think it's a real possibility.
Well, we'll see if D'Amico says anything towards that. We'll go to NRG, hear from the head coach coming up as we return right here live on The Drive, live on a Thursday here at Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Park.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Take the drive. It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. As it is Thirsty Thursday playoff week, baby, as your Houston Texans are going to be traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. And let's head on out to NRG in here. From the head coach, as D'Amico Ryan speaks to the media.
Like Will and Daniil, like as a duo, but could you speak specifically about Daniil and what he's meant to your team and what he's brought this season?
Daniil has meant, you know, everything to our defensive success. Just with him, you know, we added a guy to our team as a free agent, you know, 2 years ago who already had success as a pass rusher when he was in Minnesota, and he was always getting after the quarterback, you know, double-digit sack guy. So to add him, you know, with a young guy and Will, we added a guy who's not only is productive, but he's also a selfless guy who is willing to teach the other young guys of how it's done, how he's had success in his career. And so that's the biggest thing that I've seen from him is just his willingness to share, you know, his kind of you know, the gift that he has and his little tricks of the trade and how he can, you know, beat guys on a consistent basis, and him sharing that information has helped a lot of our guys have some success.
When it comes to your offensive line, the growth of the group, what do you think about what they've done as far as where they came from the offseason to today?
Our offensive line has done a good job. I feel like our group has improved throughout the year. The main thing, when you look at it, we've done a really great job of protecting our quarterback. And that was the main emphasis coming into this year. Is can we upgrade in that area, you know, of protecting our quarterback better, keeping him off the ground, and we've done that.
Potentially getting Jalen back, but having him at practice, you know, how is that?
How could he possibly help if he is ready?
Yeah, we're excited to get Jalen back. We activated his window, so he started back practicing today, and we'll see how the week goes and see, you know, how he can help us.
They use both Warren and Gainwell on the ground. What have you kind of seen from their rushing attack and how they go about running the football with Arthur Smith calling the plays?
Yeah, when you first pop on the film watching the Steelers, the thing that jumps out the most, you know, is their running back position. They have two guys, you know, and Warren, you know, who's, I mean, you watch him run the football, it's really impressive to see a young guy run the ball the way he runs the ball. He's small guy, but he's tough. He's physical, runs it really well. And Gainwell, another receiver that steps in, and he's done a really great job as well running the football. But the thing where they make a lot of plays is, you know, both backs, whichever guy's in, you know, what they do with the ball in their hand once the ball is out. Aaron has done a great job of not making bad plays. He gets the ball to his check down very quickly, and those guys, you know, make some productive plays off of catching the ball, even behind the line of scrimmage. They make a lot of guys miss tackles. They both have really good contact balance. They have the speed, the toughness, the physicality to really gain yards, you know, after the catch, and they're top in the league at receiving yards after the catch. So it'll be a tough challenge to get these guys on the ground. Is going to take everybody from our D-line coming out of the stack, our second-level guys really securing the tackles as best we can.
Can you talk about getting Metcalf back? What kind of challenges he presents in terms of having him back in their lineup?
Yeah, Metcalf gives them, you know, their full offense where, you know, he lines up as an outside receiver. He does a, you know, outstanding job of just playing physical. That's the one thing that sticks out for me with him. He's a physical receiver. Whether he's running the go ball, slants, whatever it looks like, he plays physical. So we have to challenge him. We have to definitely step up to the challenge there. We have to play physical as well versus him. It's going to be a tough challenge. He's done a great job his entire career of making big plays, you know, down the field, and I know they're excited to get him back because he's such a huge part of their offense, and Aaron will definitely look to go to him, you know, a ton. So we have our hands full when it comes to just challenging him and trying to make a play when the ball is up.
Why do you think your team is built for the cold weather and tough environments in particular?
Yeah, our team is ready to go anywhere, anytime, any place. We're ready to go.
I can't remember the name of the field now, but Heinz Field has been known for not great conditions on the field. Is that something that you have to be aware of, and how do y'all kind of approach that if you do?
Yeah, we make sure we're prepared in all facets of the game. You know, we do our preparation. It's not just, you know, the film and the plays and what we run, but we'll do our thing, you know, when it comes to preparing for the weather, for the field, all those things. Our equipment staff is well-averse in those areas to get us everything that we need to be ready to go.
Talk about the chess match that your defensive coordinator's got to deal with Aaron Rodgers on, because he's probably seen it with his age and maturity, and he's probably seen everything. It's probably no surprise if y'all can still pull off it.
He had a ton of success in his league. As I mentioned earlier, he's one of the, you know, the best quarterbacks to play this game, and he's that way for a reason. He's a very smart guy. He does a really good job of, you know, taking a couple plays to the line of scrimmage and trying to get them into the most advantageous play when he sees the defense and he sees, you know, what he's facing, and he sees a weakness of where he can get the ball out quick. That's where he's going to go with the football. So for us, it's not so much of a chess match. For us defensively, we know he's going to figure out what you're doing, how you're disguising, all those things. It's going to be about us collectively as a team, not just about Aaron Rodgers. It's our defense versus their offense. They have a ton of playmakers who Aaron gets the ball to that do a really great job in space of making guys miss. So we have to do a great job of tackling whoever gets the football.
Having said that, in what ways does the game change now, the way you approach the Steelers and the way they will approach you from regular season to the playoffs?
This game here is a really great matchup, because when you watch the Steelers and you watch the Texans, you're going to get two physical football teams, right? It's going to be old school football. It's going to be physical on both sides. And that's – you shouldn't be – I can't get more excited about it, right, because that's the thing that stands out. Coach Tomlin has always done an outstanding job with this team. He had a ton of success for a reason. They play the right way. Complementary football, all three phases. Their special teams unit, they're physical, they're aggressive. Offensively, they do a great job of run blocking, pass blocking. They have physical linemen up front who sustain blocks well. Defensively, their line is their D-line is probably one of the best units, you know, in the league. And not know a lot of credit goes to the edge players, but they're three interior guys. They are disruptive players, big guys who do a great job of getting off blocks, disrupting in the run game. So it's physical game, right? And that's what, if you like football, that's what you should be about. So I'm about that, and I'm ready to get after it.
How do you feel the growth of Jaden Higgins has helped CJ in terms of giving him another outside threat, and also helping Nico in terms of taking some attention away from him?
Higgins has grown a lot when we try to move him around the formation a lot. He's done a great job in the classroom of being prepared to, you know, handle different positions at different times. He's a really smart young player. We put a lot on his plate, and he can handle it really well. He can go out and he can make big plays for us, just the same as Nico has done for us. So to be a young player and grow as much as he's grown throughout the season, couldn't be more proud of what he's done.
You've gone against Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith in different situations. Is that collaboration, like, do you see certain elements of the way that they've run offenses in the past, and how challenging is that?
Yeah, for me, as I study the Steelers, that's what I focus on. It's the Steelers and what they've done this year. They are really well-coached team. When it comes to the run game, the way they target their offensive line, the way they utilize, you know, their jumbo package, bringing the extra O-lineman in, I think they utilize their personnel really well, whether it's, you know, 11, 12, 13, they'll vary their personnel groupings to keep you off balance a little bit so you don't know what you're going to get just based on personnel. So they've done a really great job of balancing, mixing it up. And then they also mix in some of the things I think that Aaron has always done well in his career. right? When you spread the formations out, he can see the defense and he can kind of pick and choose where he wants to go with the football. That's always been an element of Aaron and what he's capable of doing.
CJ is one of the few quarterbacks to win playoff games each of their first couple of years in the NFL with Otto Graham being one of those guys. What do you think that experience he's had, the early success, does for confidence and the experience it could translate to what you guys hope to do?
I know a lot gets to be made about playoff experience, and for what it's worth, I mean, it's about going and winning the game. It's about going out and playing good football. That's what it's about, right? The game doesn't change. It's the playoffs. We know what's at stake here, win or go home. But we just got to go out, play our game that we've been playing. CJ, continue to play well, protect the football, do a great job of distributing, you know, where the ball is the ball is set to go to different people at different times. If he does a great job of distributing and doing what he needs to do, playing the quarterback position at an elite level, what he's done his entire career, he does that, plays good for us, we'll be in a good spot.
Coach, since week four, it seems like every week has been a playoff game for you all. Does having gone through that adversity, having gone through, you know, each week making sure you take care of that game in hand, how much of that message that you will you use from that to carry over into the playoffs?
For this week, it's very easy for the messaging this week. Right? It's not a ton of, you know, changing up the message or switching what we have to do or making it bigger than what it is. You know, everybody in our locker room understands what's at stake, what's on the line. We've been here before. We understand that. And at the end of the day, as I always talk about with our guys, it's going to be about your focus, your preparation, and how you go out and execute. If you do that the right way, then everything else will take care of itself. But we don't need to make the game bigger than what it is. It's still football. They snap it. We still got to go play fast and physical and make plays.
Knowing how physical you want to be in this game, are there any ideas of maybe getting Tommy Togiai in that fullback position again?
Oh, can't give all our secrets away, but you never know. You never know what could happen.
Good. Can you speak to CJ's preparation this time around and his mindset as opposed to the first 2 years that he led the team to the playoffs?
I think CJ is as prepared as anybody. He's locked in. He's focused. He's ready for this moment. He had a really great day of practice today. He led the team very well, and he commanded the offense well, threw it really well today. So he's doing all the things it takes for him to play the quarterback position well, and that's all he needs to do.
You probably don't want to do too much reflecting and focus on the Steelers. Do you have a moment in this season where you feel like the team really learned how to win, kind of like – turn that corner after the struggles and y'all really kind of really figured it out?
For me, just as our season has gone on, you win games in a multitude of different fashions, right? I think our guys found that. I think early in the season, you know, we didn't protect the ball well. You know, we didn't get off the field in critical situations defensively. And so I think as the season has went on, like, I've seen our offense grow where we're able to close games out. Right in the fourth quarter, I've seen our defense grow where, hey, it's fourth quarter, game is on the line, we've stepped up, those guys have made plays in those critical moments. And that's, the playoffs won't be any different, right? It'll be about how do you operate in those critical moments, the third down, the red area, 2 minute. Like, are you operating efficiently in those moments? Are you making the stops that you need to make defensively in those moments? Our guys have been there, we've done it. Going against a really tough opponent, that's going to be a really, you know, tough challenge for us. And we got to bring everything that we have to go get this one. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Sorry about that, D'Amico. That is the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, as he speaks to the media ahead of this playoff game in Pittsburgh as they get ready to take on the Steelers. We'll have CJ coming up in the 3 o'clock hour as well. Let's react to that on the other side as we're live right here on The Drive.
The Drive is live.